You're listening to the Confessions of a Hashtag Beauty Boss podcast. I'm your host, Angela Sanchez, beauty business mentor and founder of Beauty Business Co. I want you to believe that you can achieve anything if you set your mind to it. I'll be interviewing leading beauty industry professionals and discovering exactly what drove them to becoming the hashtag beauty boss they are today. Are you ready to be inspired? You're listening to episode 69 of the Confessions of a Hashtag Beauty Boss podcast with today's guest, Amanda Marsilio, owner of His and Hers Beauty and Skin Solutions in Aspley, Brisbane, Northside. Amanda is a solo-owned and operated clinic owner and also was a finalist in the ABIA Awards for 2023 for solo-owned and operated beauty clinic and has been a member of Beauty Boss Pro for a few years, and I'm absolutely in love with her determination with every challenge I set. She even won herself a True Dermal LED at-home face mask for giving one of our challenges a go and coming in first. She shows up to our mentoring calls and implements the learnings, and I've seen a huge increase in confidence in her that I'm super proud to share, because social media is forever changing and evolving and a full-time job on its own. So seeing someone like Amanda give everything I teach a go makes me so happy. Beauty Boss Pro is our mentorship program for beauty business owners that want to learn how to use social media and build the confidence to show up and share their knowledge with their audience. I would love to have you join us. Just DM me on Instagram at beautybusinessco_ with the word Beauty Boss Pro, and I will give you a backdoor entry to come and join us. Okay, let's get into this week's episode. Amanda, welcome to my virtual beauty lounge. It is so good to have you here on the show. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for being here. Yay, it's been a long time coming. You have been a part of my world and me with you for many, many years now. We have just kind of had a little pre-discussion of like where we first originally met, and it went back to my business consulting days when you're working in a clinic, and that's just like so exciting because it just reminds me of that, you like how small our industry is for starters, but like you just never know where you're going to meet someone in the future. You've been a Beauty Boss Pro member working on your growth in social media for quite a few years now with under my mentorship, which is really like so profound in the way in which you are showing up on your socials now. I can really see some exponential growth that's been happening, not only to the things that you're doing, but your confidence too, which is so, so cool. You've attended a couple of our retreats, which is nice to see you taking time out for personal and business development for yourself. And then I've had the pleasure of coming into your clinic at one of your amazing birthday events that you facilitate for your community every year. It was so nice to be a part of that. And just, I love hanging with you. I think you're such an incredible woman, and I love having you a part of our community, and you bring so much value to the other business owners too. So I always like to start the show with asking what your definition of a hashtag beauty boss is.
Yes. So hashtag beauty boss, for me, it is, you know, a woman who is strong, independent, very determined to run her own business, whether it's, you know, on her own or with staff. Yeah, that's kind of what that's how I look at people like that. I just think they're so confident and just amazing women who can do that.
So true. And I love like everything you said. I see within you that independent, determined woman. That is who I see in you. And business can be so lonely. And I feel like we really more empowered and inspired every day when we do surround ourselves with other like-minded industry professionals. That's why I sort of do what I do, because our families, our friends, our partners, they just don't quite understand. Stand, even if they are in business themselves, you know, we're a different category, us beauty bosses. And it's, really, really nice to see that you are leaning into the support as well. And beauty business owners around Australia, it's so nice like to connect with them and see that we are all, you know, no matter what stage or phase or business model setup we have, we're all on this path of, you know, our own definition of what success looks like. And I'm a big believer in building that whole life by design and whatever that looks like for you and your beauty business being that vehicle and driver for that. So it's so good to have you here. Let's find out where it all began for you. What drove you to get into the beauty industry?
So it's quite a funny story. My mum took me for an underarm wax at our local salon in Tully in North Queensland. And I came out of having that underarm wax and said to my mum, that's what I want to do. And she said, really? And I said, yeah, I'm not sure why, but that's what I want to do. And that was year 7. And then, you know, go through school. And then in year 10, we had to go and do work experience somewhere. And I had said to my mum, well, I either want to go to the beauty salon or I want to be a detective. And my mum didn't want me to be in the police force. So she called the local beauty salon who didn't really take, you know, work experience girls anymore. And she said yes. And I had the best, was about 4 days, I think, 4 days ever. She allowed family and friends to come in and have treatments, and she showed me how to do them, and I did them on my family. And yeah, it was the best work experience anyone could really have had. And then that was it. I was pretty much sold. And then I just hung out for the last 2 years of school so I could go to beauty school.
Yeah. I love that. We are so similar in that I went to a beauty college for my work experience, and I thought I was going to be a fashion designer. So that wasn't sass and bide. It was a beauty college, and I was like, what? I hadn't even had my eyebrows done. So that was like, I got my first eyebrow wax. I had a facial. Then I had my nails done after, and then we were like learning about the anatomy of the body. And this was all in 1 week off school. And I was like, I am so sold. Oh, that is so nice.
I'm definitely not the girly girl. I am, you know, I go fishing with my dad and I'm on the farm. But somehow I just really love this industry.
Yeah. Well, that is so cool. Well, there's certainly detective work when it comes to our industry as well. So you've got the passion of that detective in finding out what that real concern of the skin is doing inside. And Oh, that is cool. And so then you went to college, you were up north, and then moved to Queensland?
Yeah. So then my sister and I moved to Brisbane, and I worked in two different salons, and then I really settled into one in Lutwyche and worked under that business for I think around 7 years. And the first business owner of that salon really taught me the behind the scenes things, of how to run a business. I always knew that I wanted my own business. I just didn't know when, how, or things like how it was going to happen. And yeah, she really showed me the ins and outs. And yeah, and then I thought, okay, I bought a house. And then maybe I think it was a year after I bought the house, I started setting up the salon downstairs. The house was really perfect for the business, so it was a given. And yeah, and the business turns 9 this year in July. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations. That is so epic. What an epic story as well. And just knowing that you have like gone into having a mortgage for starters, and then knowing, all right, well, if I'm in this industry and want to create something on my own, then how can I, create this with how I want to live too? I've seen your property and it is a really perfect like home-based beauty clinic. It's professional. It's got amazing street signage. Like it's really not quite hidden away back in the suburbs or anything like that. You're pretty lucky. And just the whole access to everything, it's completely separate. And yeah, you facilitate like incredible events at your business as well. So you should be so proud of the way in which you've set that model up. And you obviously have continued to love that style. You like the one-on-one with your clients and having that like personalization for everybody.
Yeah, I do. I like stuff for me pops up every now and then, but I'm not sure why I haven't taken the plunge. I just haven't taken the plunge. But I do really like, I have really in the last 2 or 3 years tried to gain a lot of work and life balance. It just wasn't really a thing for me. And now, yeah, I look at life and I look at my business very different. So it kind of works for me.
Yeah, I really love that you touched on that point because I think it is very easy when we go into our business and have it solo owned. It can be a part of our homes or not for a lot of people. But again, like so similar in that aspect with you that it can be the be all and end all because it's so easy to take an after hours appointment. It's so easy to start early. It's so easy to run through your lunch break. I was, breastfeeding a child in between clients and then in between nap times. And it works so well for us because we're like, well, this is amazing. I've created a business around my lifestyle. But then when you become that bottleneck of our business as well, it is really easy to step into a bit of that overdrive, not so much burnout, but like the overdrive of, oh, hang on, I actually don't really do too much other than my normal things for me.
It was someone who said to me, so I put in rules for myself when I first opened the business. So I've got two phones because I have a mobile for the business, two phones. I used to leave it downstairs once I was done. I bring it upstairs now, but after a certain time, I won't message people back. There was a rep at the time who said, if you've actually got to go outside your business and walk up the front stairs to actually finish, then do that. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. At first, I was like, I don't know what she's talking about. And then I was like, actually, now too. And it is. If you don't, like, you could be working for hours on end. So, yeah, it was a very, oh, no, I start at this time and I finish at this time.
Oh, I love that. The little tiny tweaks that we can put into putting a definite finish to our day is so powerful. Like, even from the going from the business back into home and family life, like, if you've had a really huge day or something really stressful's come up, and then even just like going for a walk before you go back to family, rather than bringing all of that back into the family and the stress and the highly strung, feeling of what's just happened in the day can make the world of difference just to have a little bit of debrief time. Hey.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I love that. Well, let's step into some of the hurdles that you continually see popping up when it comes to running a beauty business.
I feel like the behind the scenes is a big hurdle. Working on clients, being in the forefront to me is super easy, but it's a matter of the behind. Doing your marketing, being on social media, coming up with all your promotions, things like that. It's taken me a while to block out the time to do that stuff because for me, I was like, oh no, I can't block out that time because I'm not making any money. Whereas, once I started working and joining Beauty Boss, it was a different it very much changed your thought pattern for me. And I actually now block out Wednesdays to do all that stuff because I just was not getting anything done.
I think in our minds, we're like, oh, yeah, I've got like a 15-minute break here, or this half an hour in between this client. And oh, yeah, I could probably do that social media post then. But then it does just get on top of you, or you don't feel as, I don't know, joyful when it comes to your marketing. Like, I have so much fun doing my marketing, and I can see that it can be so fun for a beauty business owner, and then that's actually going to come through in your messaging and what the viewer sees if you've carved out that time that just bang, bang, bang works in like a batch recording way, where you've smashed out from the beginning. You're feeling a bit like, oh God, I've got to do this today. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
That middle to the end where you're like, yes, oh my gosh, I feel like I've gotten like 15 videos to go through the full month, and I know what I'm going to be promoting in my business. And now all I have to do is maybe spend some time editing and putting them together. And that can be for the next Wednesday. You know, it doesn't all have to happen in that one day, but it does make a difference when you carve out that time. So I'm glad that you're doing that. And I am also really appreciative that you're carving out the time for like showing up to our calls, because they're so motivating, not only for you being and hearing me, but hearing other beauty business owners and what they're doing, what's working for them and whatnot. And you always bring so much value to the table in those calls as well. So
I'm
glad that you're seeing a difference. So that behind the scenes side is, and I think it's just, it's constant, right? Like there's a bit of outsourcing that I believe that we can still do from like an automation side, and someone maybe doing some things for you. That could be like an area that you'd like to, like, we don't have to, as solopreneurs, we don't have to grow our team as doing more treatments, but I'm a big believer in having a virtual team that's actually supporting you from all sorts: administration, email marketing, social media to an extent, whether you've got people creating kind of like Canva templates and things like that for you as well. But once you know that plan, then it's so much easier to like have people help you implement it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there any other hurdles that you find?
No, that's probably the biggest one now for me.
I know. And it's getting faster and faster. So the whole digital marketing side, it's changed a lot. So I'm always thinking, how can we save our beauty business owners time, or how can we save them overwhelm in the way in which they think they need to be showing up? Because then once I feel like that plan is in place, you can set and forget and not be like, oh, I've got to be doing this. I've got to be doing like that salon. That salon's doing this. I better be doing and showing up with funny reels and showing my face more and da 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 da. But it's sort of like, well, what's going to work for you in your business? How do you want to show up? Let's create the plan for that and let's start executing, right? Whatever else happens in the social media hamster wheel, that's fine. That can stay on that hamster wheel. You've got your plan, and staying on your own path with that is very important. So
I feel like also when it comes to, you know, your social media posts, don't get me wrong, I look at other businesses and think, oh, I should do that. I could do that. But I feel like you've got to try different things to know what your followers like to see. You know, like if I put a picture up of myself, that's what gets, you know, potentially the most interaction. So, you know, me holding the product or not just showing the product. Yeah. And it's like, damn it. I've got to get in this, or I've got it. Yeah. So, yeah, different things. You know, I've been doing those reels of get ready, you know, come get ready with me on a Saturday. You know, some of them have gotten more views than I would have thought, thinking, oh, I don't know if anyone will really like this. And then so I'm like, oh, okay,
I love that. Every listener, it's taken a little while for Amanda to really realize that this whole face to the camera work is what's going to make a difference to the engagement. Because we do think like, who really cares about what we look like when we're going to a birthday party or a special event? And like, why would they want to watch me setting up my treatment room? But it's I don't know what it is with the human mind right now, with the consumer behavior of digital social content. It's like that's the stuff that hooks them in, so that when you do have something to say about a product, or, you know, just specifically business orientated, it's going to show up for them more and then convert into, you know, the sales, which is the end game after all. But we've got to do that kind of juicier stuff that does take a little bit more time, you know, setting up your tripod and doing a time lapse of you setting up for your day. You've got to be in the right mindset for that too. So, well, I'm proud of you, because you have just been continually chipping away at it. And I love the fact that when you are trying something new, you'll kind of send me a DM a lot of the times and be like, what do you think of this? Or what do you reckon about this? So that's what I'm here for. And I've seen, like, an incredible amount of just progress over perfection for you, which is amazing.
Yeah, good. Great, thanks.
Now, what are your top two important tips for the aspired beauty boss listener to learn from when starting their own business?
Don't jump straight into owning a business. I thought that I was ready right out of college. I remember saying to my parents, I want my own business. And my dad said, oh, no, you need to calm down and work first. And I said, no, I can do it. And looking back now, there is no way I would have been able to do it, I don't think. I feel like you need to develop your craft, essentially. So, you know, work for people, learn, you know, grab the knowledge, decide what, you know, product range you want, what works for you, what feels good. And also having a lot of treatments in different salons. Of course, I've got a bunch of beauty therapists that we all kind of, you know, rotate through, whether we swap services. But before that, I used to try different salons for everything. Yeah, you learn a lot by having treatments.
Yes, we don't do that enough. That is like a note to self for every single listener. Can you please go and book that treatment that you've always wanted to go and try at that salon you've always wanted to go and try? Just go book it. Just go and treat yourself and go in there with the open mind of, I am going to smell what I smell when I open this door. I'm going to observe what I hear when I open and come into the reception. How is my experience greeted as I walk in? What's the consultation like? When I go into the room, how's the temperature? Do they ask me what scents to try and smell with my treatment? Did they have the lights dimmed already, or was it super, super bright? Like, what do you think from your experience in these treatments that you think, oh my goodness, that was absolutely gold. I am totally going to try and incorporate that in my own way. Or that was a definite no-no. A lot of the time we do go in with with our antlers on, like, oh my God, please touch me harder. All of that kind of stuff. But I think it's really important to, rather than being like, oh, you know, I hope that the massage is good because I'm a therapist, is more like, okay, I'm going to go in here with really seeing that whole journey and how I can make mine even better, because I want to be the best, you know?
Yeah. I used to be like that right at the beginning. Oh, I'm a therapist. Oh, this is, you know, blah, blah. Oh, it's not going to be good. I didn't like that. Now it's a very different story for me. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in, you know, I'm going to relax. Yeah, I'm going to take notice. And there are things that you can say, oh, I really liked how she did that, or oh, I liked that. I'll incorporate that in. Or so there has been a few things that I've taken away from other clinics thinking, oh, I could do that. That's really nice. Or
yeah,
I guess go in more with an open mind and just to relax.
Yeah. I had a treatment. Sorry, you go.
I now get my family to give me gift vouchers from different salons for my birthday when they don't know what to get me. Yeah.
That is so good.
Right. Yeah, sorry, you go.
No, this is your interview. I was just going to share, I had a treatment the other day and I got off the airplane and my whole body was aching. And I was like, oh my God, I really need a massage. It's just so rare that I even say that. But I was like, I have to go and have someone melt me. That was how bad I felt. My arms were like pins and needles on the airplane. So circulation, oh my goodness, not very good right now. So I knew that I had to do something. So I went in and I was like, okay, I really want all the work done. So I booked 90 minutes. I added cupping and reflexology. So it was going to be a good 2 hours. And, I did say some questions. I was like, oh, but how long is the reflexology? Because I don't want that taken away from my 60 minutes because of I really want the time on my back and things like that. But what I didn't say was, oh, does that go through the scalp? Because, I love that whole ending, from a personal touch, right? And so I didn't ask the question. And then so I'm in this place for 2 hours and they had not touched my, from the front, the shoulders going through to the scalp. I don't think my scalp was touched at all. And I just, it was a good, but I came out going, I'm unfinished. I'm I have parts of my body that have been not touched, right? And so obviously, from me, I've learned from that because I know the more that I explain about what I do want, if we don't ask, we don't receive. And then from a therapist perspective, it's oh gosh, if they just asked me a few questions before I went into the room, I probably would have started identifying the things that were really of interest for this treatment. So sometimes I think for therapists, they can be scared to ask what we actually want as well.
I feel as well, that was kind of my point of going and having different treatments. So I'm very fussy when it comes to massage. I can relax in every other treatment, but massage, I'm very picky. I can tell if it's going to be a good massage from when you put your hands on my body. So the little things of I hot towel the feet before I start and at the end. I hot towel the back as well after I've massaged it. Making sure the feet are covered up, their shoulders are covered up, that, yes, they do get the head massage. All those little things, you don't learn them at college. You don't. And for me, it was having different treatments and thinking, oh, okay, she's got my feet covered up and I'm really nice and snug. Oh, yep, okay. Or, oh, she does hot towel. And, oh, I heat up my oil. So you don't get massage with cold oil. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but you go in and they just squirt the oil onto your back and I'm oh, goodness me. And I'm just oh, that's cold. Or warm it up in your hands first. So my oil is hot, it's not cold, and just little things. But and you learn them from working with people. I learned that at the salon at Lutwyche, full-on massage therapist who used to heat it up, and I was like, oh okay, yeah.
So definitely going back to that, the more experience you have to before you start a beauty business was the original question, but in business in general, to better ourselves, we have to be going and trying and experiencing as well. Just because we have all the products and can do our own thing to save us money, I guess we could say, with having great skin. Yeah. Thank goodness we're in the industry that we're in because we're all looking younger, but go and get some other hands on you because it makes the world of difference to how you show up for your client every single day as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Is there another important tip that you wanted to share? Was there two in one there?
Yeah, that was two in one.
Love it. I'd love for you to share 3 apps that you just can't live without.
So Facebook, I feel like, business-wise, Facebook for me gets a lot more. It used to. It's changing now, but Facebook used to be where my clientele was. Canva and Apple Music, but that was probably a personal one for me too. I really like listening to music.
Yeah, love that. So salon and like, do you love putting some good music on to start your day?
Sometimes when I'm cleaning the salon, like when I'm, you know, mopping the floor, getting all the wax off, I usually put on my playlist and it's just blaring in the salon. It's not good when you forget to turn it down the next morning and you're like, oh my God. But yeah, that kind of helps me. Especially no one likes to clean the salon, but you know.
So when you had said Facebook and then it's sort of changing a little bit, are you starting to see a lot more clients hanging out on Instagram? Is that what you mean by that?
Yes, I am. More people are, you know, are getting Instagram, I guess. But I still have a lot of clientele who are on Facebook still.
Facebook is still very Facebook's still very community driven, and I love the fact that you can share links on Facebook that are clickable. You still can't really do that a lot with posts in general for Instagram. And so yeah, just again, those two platforms covering your bases when it comes to the way and how you show up and market. And we've had some beauty bosses that have had some really great success with their own Facebook groups, but then also in other people's Facebook groups and kind of showing up as the skin expert in there. It's like if we kind of switch our mindset to going, oh, okay, I'm going to show up as the skin expert or be like a skin blogger inside this group and share really valuable education rather than it being like a selling my promotion kind of thing, then that's been really quite helpful as well. So yeah, Facebook's still a good winner. And for ads, if you're tapping into ads this year, to give
it's
that
good
a little
for community groups too. You know, I had two people come last night for an appointment and they booked my salon because they saw that I had been recommended in the one of the community pages.
Excellent. Yeah. That is so good. Yeah, you just, you don't know who else is talking about you. We had one last night in the Noosa community page and they were asking about what sunscreen is the best that doesn't sting your face. And the amount of people that commented, and so these are consumers that are giving not advice on what sunscreen is best for this person, but like, this is what I use. So, you know, sometimes they don't just come to their professional, they might not even have a professional. So showing up in these groups is really important because then you're going to be that first point of call. Oh, I remember Amanda. She was in here and she was sharing stuff about skin. I might just tag her and then she can like take over the conversation. Like how good is that, right?
Yep.
Amazing. Well, I would love to hear now, what is one thing you are constantly searching for when it comes to support in what you do daily?
Well, it really for me is the social media side of things. But I guess I don't know, I've got such a big community now, you know, depending on what I need, I can reach out for that support. Yeah. So, you know, you are my social media go-to and you know, you know, mindfulness things, you know, I reach out to Martina, you know.
Yeah, you've got a mindset mentor, which is new for you as well in the stage of your growth.
Yeah. You know, I've applied for a lot of awards and last year I, you know, got a bit of help, you know, from Nicola. So, I am better at reaching out to what I need and not just trying to do it all myself, which, you know, you learn over time. I mean, I've reached out for probably the last 3, 4, 5 years, but at the beginning I never did.
And yeah, I think we have changed a lot to realizing that it is okay to ask for help. It is okay to not have to know it all. And even if you do know it all, just because you can, it doesn't mean you should.
No, so, exactly.
Yeah, we can do everything, but
it
doesn't mean that we have to put our focus on that. That's just too much. And
it is.
It's nice to have some people in your corner that can also hold you accountable, right? Because we do love a bit of shiny objects in our industry. We've thrown different brands, different machines, different things that we should be a part of, different courses, all sorts of things that we could be doing to develop ourselves or change or up-level our businesses. So having that accountability and knowing that you can ask questions is, it's really important as well, I think, as well. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that. Do you have any specific routines that you stick to set your day up for success?
So I have a bath in the mornings to wake up. I have my breakfast, and then I'm usually downstairs 45 minutes to an hour before. And I set up, get ready, work on anything I need to work on, do any social media that morning if I want to do that as well. That's pretty much a routine that I stick to. I've now incorporated, meditating a little bit as well, sitting out in the sun while I'm either doing that or reading the book that I'm reading at the moment. So yeah, it's changing, but those things kind of stay. I do them constantly now.
I love that. I saw, because we're on camera, I saw a little eyebrow raise to that, sitting outside and doing this. Like, how does it feel for you stepping into the uncomfortable of something sort of like you've never really tapped into this whole mindfulness and doing meditation before as such on a continual basis? How is it feeling for you really leaning into being vulnerable with you,
At first it was super uncomfortable. I was like, oh, nah. Like, this is, but now it feels, it's starting to feel normal. It just makes me feel better.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Just a different mindset, which is so good, because it can get quite exhausting.
Yeah, it can. Our thoughts are pretty exhausting on a day-to-day. We have probably a trillion thoughts that come through our minds in and out, and just having that little bit of present time to just be mindful at the way we chew our sandwich, that we swallow our drink, that we read the words in our book instead of looking at our phone in case there was an appointment that came through at the same time. Being really present with the time that we take for ourselves can absolutely do wonders. So I can see, hear, and feel that within you. And I'm really, really proud of you, Amanda.
Great. Thank you.
Well, this has been super fun. I'm going to throw some rapid fire questions because I know you have a client coming in. What is the best book you've ever read?
Oh, look, I'm not the biggest reader, but I've been reading The Secret for the second time, and this time I'm really taking it in. So,
oh, I love that. There's like a whole series. There's The Power. That's also a really good one. Yeah, go for gold with that series. It is amazing. Who is someone that you would love to meet in person?
Tony Robbins.
Love him, love him. What's one thing you have procrastinated about this week?
Organizing my VIP poster.
And do you do all your like artwork by yourself and stuff for that?
No, I outsource that.
Okay.
I've got a graphic designer. So yeah, I've really got no excuse. But yeah, it'll get
what
there.
Did What did we just say about holding accountability? So
That's
that yeah. that will be done by the end of the day, Amanda.
Yes, yeah.
Where am I up to on our questions? What is something you would jump at if you knew you wouldn't fail?
I would probably move out of home, get a bigger space. I'd probably get staff and be a one-stop shop.
Ooh. That sounds exciting. I see a big grin on your face in the camera. If you were stranded on a deserted island with no Wi-Fi, what's one thing you wish you had with you?
My pillow.
Oh.
Yeah. Is that an odd answer? I'm not sure.
No, I kind of want to know what pillow you have, because a pillow is everything.
Yeah, I know. I am still trying to work out the best one, but right at this point I have a triangle one. And it's doing the job for now, but yes, you should see how many pillows I have in my house.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Now, this has been wonderful. What is next for you and the business? What's in the works? What would you like to share as kind of a parting word, phrase of wisdom for our listeners here?
Probably the next thing I'd like to look at is, I'd love to show therapists how to run their own VIP nights. So I know we've talked about it, a few times, and yeah, just setting up different things in the background so people can, have a checklist and know exactly how to do it and what to do.
And how to make some serious dollars on your VIP nights, because that is something that you have nailed. And I am excited for you about that, because VIP nights can really be make or break. We've had conversations with beauty business owners that come and say that was a complete waste of time and a huge amount of loss for our business. So if you have 9 years of experience in incredible, profitable VIP events, I'm sure that there would be a lot of beauty business owners in our community who would want to hear some tips and tricks from you and how to make them really, really exciting and fun, and bringing community together is what it's all about, which can then turn that value into amazingness.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of money to be made at a VIP night. If you have set it up properly and you can execute it well, then definitely.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Great. And where can our followers go and find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram and Facebook. So the business name is His and Hers Beauty and Skin Solutions. So it should pop up on social media. Yeah.
Great. We'll tag you in our little social graphic when we post the podcast out on our side of things and in the show notes and all of the places. I just wanted to give my appreciation for you gifting me your time today and sharing all of your incredible knowledge with our listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, we'll see you again soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye. Thanks for listening.